The Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." These are the words. So far the reading. In the name of our Lord, yesterday we were instructed concerning the experience of the Israelites at the time of the Exodus from Egypt and the wandering in the wilderness, when they cried out to God in hunger, their need for daily bread was met by the miraculous food which God provided, the bread from heaven which he caused to rain down on them. For 40 years in the wilderness, they ate that mysterious food which they called manna, which means, what is it? For the Jews of Jesus' day, well over 1,000 years later, this was still a matter of great pride for them. They boasted that they were the descendants of those people who had eaten the bread from heaven in the wilderness along with Moses. "Our fathers ate manna in the desert," they reminded Jesus. They bragged that they were Moses' disciples and prided themselves in their knowledge that God had spoken to and through their great prophet and leader, Moses. That story provides the background for the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, from which our reading is taken. This long chapter is filled with both direct references and subtle allusions to Exodus chapter 16. John 6 and Exodus 16 can be viewed as companion chapters. A saying developed in the Latin language in the early Christian church in the age of Augustine about the relationship between the two major divisions of the Bible. It went like this: "Novum Testamentum in vetere latet, vetus in novo patet," which means the New Testament in the Old is concealed, and the Old Testament in the New is revealed. John 6 is one long testimony to the fact that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the God of the Old Testament who led his people out of bondage in Egypt, sustained them through the years in the wilderness, and brought them finally to their promised land. And furthermore, this Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, who provides redemption for all mankind. Jesus was preaching both by words and actions. Thousands of people had followed him to a desert place, and they had nothing to eat. The only food available was a meager sack lunch brought along by one little boy who happened to have 5 barley rolls and a couple of fish. But the compassion and power of God provided. Out of scarcity came abundance by the power of God, bread for the hungry in the wilderness. One of the themes which St. John develops is expressed in the very first chapter of his gospel in these words: "The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The inspired writer is teaching us concerning the contrast between Moses and Christ. Of all the figures in the Old Testament through whom God revealed his will and his word among men, Moses stands head and shoulders above the rest. That body of writing ascribed to Moses is massive. It encompasses the material from the creation to the point where the Israelites were poised to take possession of the land that God had promised them. It instructs us concerning the origin of all things, the tragedy of human sin and rebellion, which brought all manner of woe and death on mankind, but also concerning the promises of God, which gives salvation. In his comments on John chapter 6, Dr. Luther pays this tribute to the greatness of Moses. He said, "No man who ever preached the word of God surpassed Moses in excellence. All the other prophets are his disciples. Moses is the master of all masters. He is the source and fountain from which all other prophets sprang." Even among those who have little or no interest in the theological content of the books of Moses, there is great respect for the enduring cultural significance of Moses. All ancient civilizations had laws, but it was through Moses that God provided the insight that everything pertaining to morality, virtue, and justice is finally included in a handful of principles which can be summarized in this way: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But great as Moses was, the claims of Jesus are astonishing in comparison. Jesus said, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." This he said to those who were proud of their allegiance to Moses, but could not figure out this Jesus of Nazareth. And concerning the meaning of the bread from heaven, Jesus said, "Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And to this he added his astounding claim, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This is the point of John's gospel, and finally of all of Scripture. It all comes to one bright focal point in this truth, that this Jesus is God in human flesh, the Redeemer of mankind. The significance of who he is and what he accomplished in his life and death and resurrection is this: he satisfies the deepest need of mankind. His gospel is our manna. It sustains us on the long journey. It brings Christ himself to us in everything that he won for us: forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death in all its dimensions, the removal of the curse of the law on all our failures, the breaking of Satan's claims on each one of us. This gospel is the bread of God, which comes down to us from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This is the manna that gives and sustains life. Well, what was the result of Jesus' proclamation there in John chapter 6 that he is the bread of life? St. John shows us that there was a division among his hearers. Some were scandalized by what he said, and they expressed their frustration in these words. They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" And they grumbled, and they were offended. And from that time, John tells us, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus turned to his faithful 12, and he asked them the question, "Do you also want to go away?" But Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Savior's words are spirit and life. By them, the Spirit of God gives the gift of faith. This is the work of God, that you believe in the Christ whom he has sent. the Word, the Spirit, and the gift of faith. That's a powerful combination. It breaks through our unbelief, overcomes our doubt, and enables us to say in response to the word of the Savior, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the true bread from heaven. Blessed are you in that faith and confession." Let us all pray. Gracious God and Father, by your power you sustained the multitude of Israelites in the wilderness with manna from heaven. And by your Son you fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Feed us also with the true bread who comes down from heaven. Nourish our souls by his gospel and bring us to our promised land of eternal bliss where all hunger and thirst are satisfied in him. Amen.